Charge, what's going on? What's going on, fellow retard?
Did you guys hear that?
Hear what?
These two, I'm asking the audience, I'm asking the listeners if they heard you guys. I don't think you guys are allowed to say that.
You mean retard? I mean, I'm a retard, I think I'm allowed to say I'm a retard.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's against the rules.
No, it's okay. I'm a fellow retard also.
Oh, okay. Okay. Phew.
So I was thinking about this a bit. I'm like, all right. This idea of like the substantial portion of folks who don't have a inner monologue. So what an inner monologue is that some of us can say a sentence in our head before we actually say the words, or we don't have to say the words at all. And a lot of people can't do that. I'm curious, like, you can't do that. I'm just curious how, like, maybe our physical expression differs. So, for example, I was brushing my teeth just now. I woke up because I'm working at night, so it's daytime here. And I just woke up, took a shower, brushed my teeth. I'm like, you know what? I wonder what I'm going to do today. I wonder, you know, what kind of paperwork I have to do. And I'm just thinking out loud in my head, kind of planning things out. I'm just curious, like, if one doesn't have that capability, like, what does that feel like exactly? Like, how do you decide, like, what's that expression in your mind as far as, like, do you feel like, hey, I'm going to have a busy day, but you can't, like, express it to yourself? Does it feel like, or maybe do you find more pleasure in actual doing of things? Because if you're caught up in your head, considering doing things, right? Like, oh, maybe I'll do this or maybe I'll do that. Maybe it's like more direct, where people that don't have inner monologue just simply do as opposed to think about doing. You know, that's kind of an interesting thing. I was just wondering, Zin, what are your thoughts on this theory? Like,
so I'm not an inner monologue enjoyer, but I have to correct you because it's actually, most people do have an inner monologue. Most people, I believe it's 55%. I was trying to look up the statistics, couldn't find it in the few seconds before you called
up. It's something like that.
Most people have mixed. So most people do a mix of like vocal, but then it's a small percentage that can't. And I think it's called aphantasia, or something, where they're incapable of forming like visuals or vocals in their head. But
like I brought Bruce on today very specially because he doesn't have an inner monologue. He's basically retarded. And what we're gonna do today is like analyze the life of Bruce. You know, like he posts a lot of things, he does random shit. And I feel like he's caught up in the act of doing, not of planning to do. Like that's kind of the sense I get. What do you say, Bruce, to that accusation?
I think it's accurate. I'd like to learn how to be better. We could do like an advice space, like people come up and advise me and then I implement it in my life for like self-development purposes.
Yeah, like if some key people come up and like provide Bruce some advice. He has issues, you know, like he has a hard time. So Bruce, did you brush your teeth today?
No, not yet. Thank you. I'm going to go do that now.
Like, do you set alarms for yourself on your little phone apps and things, or maybe like on your Apple Watch or something like that, just to make sure that you do basic tasks? I'm just wondering.
No, I need reminding. I'm going to go brush my teeth. One sec.
But for those that don't have inner monologue, the question
floss
is like,
too.
What does it feel like to plan your day? Like, is it become just sort of experiential? Do you just reflexively go, oh, I was told to brush my teeth yesterday, so now I don't feel right if I don't brush my teeth today. So it just kind of has a different feeling, maybe? Like, what does that feel like? We need to, like, hear from people that don't have that particular capability. Like Chugs was mentioned the other week, like, that he had a hard time with, like, he doesn't have the ability to sort of, like, visualize objects in his mind and then rotate them and whatever. And other people don't have an inner monologue that's a little bit different. So I'm just curious, like, are those two things mutually exclusive? Can you have the ability to do one but not the other? Or what exactly?
I've got an internal monologue. It's weird. It's almost like, did you ever watch Scrubs? You definitely watch Scrubs, Seffy, considering your background. But it's like when JD has his little interior monologue and it goes off into like a little fantasy, but with words.
I just find that so cringe. Like, I hear everyone shitting on the no inner monologuers. But, like, the idea of, like, walking around with a narrator is so weird to me.
Well, it's not so much a narrator. It's like, imagine like, you want to say think about how you want to say a sentence. Like, the dog barks at the cat. Who can't say that in their head, like, mentally? Like, and if you can't, I'd love to hear like what life feels like.
Genuinely doubt. Like, I'm pretty sure that the people that can't, that are incapable of it, rather than people that gravitate towards one mode of thinking, I would be willing to bet that it's severely low. If you're incapable of forming words in your mind, I would assume that you wouldn't be able to say words.
Yeah, but that's why he's asking, what does it feel like from people that know how it feels like, rather than just assuming.
No, but like Chugs, you can't visualize an object in your head. Like, you know, tell you to think about a Boeing 747. You're like, I can't really come up with that in my head. It's
not.
Right. You can crudely, but it's like fuzzy.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell is what I was trying to say. It's like looking underwater with, no clear vision or whatsoever. So I know what it is because I know what I'm thinking
of.
So
Chugs, does that affect your ability? Like, if you would say, all right, so how do you plan out, like, if I were to tell you to build a birdhouse, like with wood and nails and whatever, you know what a birdhouse looks like, I would assume. Yeah. You have a memory of what it looks like, even if you can't visualize in your head at this very moment. So what would your planning be like? Would you get a picture of a birdhouse that's in front of you that you're working on? Would you draw one? Like, how do you build a birdhouse? Describe that.
I just wing it. If I'm completely honest, I know it's a square followed by four rectangles, a square and a triangle if you want on top, or just one big block and just hollow it out. Like, I know the concept of it and I just choose what concept I wanted.
So you fully understand like the end product of what a birdhouse might look like, what the function is, what the general pieces that go together are, but you just can't image that in your head. Do you typically like do a lot of foreplanning when you do work? Like do you typically like maybe draw some schematics and have a plan laid out, or do you just wing it? Like you just do it in the moment.
I just do it in the moment and then alternate as I need to go. It's like when I was tiling my bathroom a couple of weeks ago, it was just a case of, I just laid it all down, measured it out, drew on the actual tiles, cut the tiles and, put it all down.
So when everything's in front of you, you can see the big picture.
Well, yeah, because it's visually.
You just can't get the picture in your head before you do it, basically.
I'm curious. Yeah. You are at like drawing, like how are you at drawing in general, like from your mind, not looking at something?
It depends. Sometimes I can draw some fun shit and it looks okay. Sometimes it's stick men doing nothing.
I'm gonna need to see. Can you post your best drawing?
That's what I was
I've
gonna
not
ask
drew since I was a child.
This is what I was thinking when I was brushing my teeth this morning. What artists do. Like, how do artists like and do deal with lack of monologue? Because like when I'm thinking of drawing something, like, and I've done some different artwork and different, designs and whatnot. And, when I'm in that mode, like I'm constantly thinking about, wait, how am I going to modify this building to look a little different? How am I going to modify this music to look a little bit different? How am I going to like, you know, there's like a visual planning going on, and then there's like a verbal planning going on. Like, you know, what am I trying to evoke here? Like, what are the consequences if I don't have
the door to this bathroom, this hallway,
or whatever?
Steffi, change the space name.
That's why I think these two things are probably definitely very different. Like, I have a very strong visual way of thinking, but I have a very, very weak auditory or like word verbal thinking ability.
What I was getting at is like, if there was someone without the ability to do verbal inner monologue, or for that matter, visual spatial kind of monologue, so to speak, then it's like, what does the experience of creating, say, for example, artwork or something like that, you know, so is it not possible?
I can actually give you an example. I can give you an example of something if you want. That is recently what happened to me. So I studied Krav Maga. I was in a grading, about a month and a half ago, something like that. And there was a specific technique I had to do. And they wanted me to alter the technique by twisting my wrist into a specific position, specific angle, etc. And they said, this is where you need to strike. This is where you need to go. This is how you need to step. They went, visualize it in your brain. I couldn't. I just said, look, it doesn't work like that. I'm just getting it. And then what the guy did is he positioned himself in the background at the angle I needed to go. And he went, look at me. This is where you need to go. Although, you know, I couldn't visualize it in my brain, I could see, right, he's there. This is how I need to angle it. And when I did the strike, I went through him and took out the other guy. It was just a case of I needed that visual.
So do you feel like you do really well? Like, let's say, for example, in martial arts, do you feel like you do really well if you physically sort of learn the correct position and then your physical memory of that position is really good? Like, you can.
Yeah, the muscle memory kicks in very quickly, very quickly.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder, like, are there like, because clearly there's very, very high functioning people that do lots of things that don't particularly have certain spatial skills, certain inner monologue skills. And therefore, like, what does that experience feel like? How is it different is what I'm asking here. Like, this is the theory. And you know, I figured maybe it was like, you know, memory feels different. Like, maybe because my ability to put like a basketball into a basketball hoop fucking sucks. Like, I know how the ball's put, where they're supposed to go. I can tell myself in my stupid head, oh, the ball needs to go over there. I probably have to have certain form. You know, my arm has to do this. My hand has to do that. I have to jump this high, whatever, right? Like, the physics of it, I get it. The all of the concept of it, I completely get. But when it comes to actually doing the physical execution, like, I'm really, really bad at repetitive physical tasks, like whether it's serving a tennis ball, whether it's shooting a ball into a basketball hoop. And so therefore, like, you know, is it because I'm overthinking it? Is it because my muscle memory kind of behavior is just like less developed than other people's? Wait, so or whatever, right?
Are you, so you and Chugga both have stronger verbal thinking? Or
I don't know about stronger. It's just,
or then
I
what would you say? Do you have a stronger visual or a stronger verbal?
I mean, well, two features I know I can do, like, let's just put this there. I have some ability to rotate objects in space and visualize them. And I have the ability to, you know, speak a sentence before I do something, right? Like, in my head. So those two things I know I can do, but beyond that, it's like, okay, you know, what do I suck at? And one thing for sure is like motor memory tasks. Like, to this day, like, no matter how much typing I do, I still have a very high typo rate, for example. And it's so there's lots of examples of where, like, my muscle memory type things are kind of like, I type fast, but I delete a lot. You know what I mean?
You're not saying that it's a reflection of the way you think. This is something like somatosensory, something different.
Or, yeah, I mean, if you don't have visual abilities in your head, You know, maybe what happens is the entire process of living is just different. And therefore, like, my theory is that maybe, like, your ability to do sort of like intuition-based motor skills or like motor memory type things, maybe they're just simply better for that reason. Like, maybe it's a different type of brain.
It's like when you've got perfect vision and you lose an eye. to begin with, obviously your body's off balance, your spatial awareness is off, you know, trying to measure everything is off. Obviously this is an extreme case, but eventually the eye adjusts and compensates for the missing eye. And I just think that's what it is. Your brain just compensates for what you don't have with what you do.
Chugga, how are you at like getting a basketball into a basketball hoop?
When I was younger, I used to play basketball and I was all right at it. I used to be really sporty when I was younger. It's just, yeah, I can visualize how far away it is. Give a rough effort. Say again.
Like in terms of athletics, were you like higher than your peers, about average, or?
It really depended on the day. It's one of them. On average, I'd say I'm above average in most sports that I, you know, sit there and deal with because I get obsessed at getting better, and it's just a case of I need to push myself to the next limit and do what it takes to get to the next point. Until, yeah, I'm not there anymore.
Sefi, what is your hypothesis here that like higher visual abilities?
I'm just wondering what it feels like. What does it feel to live without these features? The same way I know how I feel to live without having certain maybe motor capabilities. Like in my case, like fuck it, I don't play basketball because it doesn't make sense. Like I'm just gonna, I'm not very good at it. The second thing would be like I don't like you know, like when I'm typing and such. It's like I can't wait for fucking AI to be able to just take my thoughts and just put them on paper because it's such a nuisance to type. So these are examples, and I have to type a lot for work and whatever. So, you know, like you compensate for your sort of like some of your weaknesses. You could probably make some of them better through practice, obviously. But, you know, I've been typing since probably longer than most people, you know, and like, you know, it hasn't gotten that much better. Is that because of lack of perfect practice? I don't think so necessarily, because I know people who are, you know, little kids that can type better than me, you know, and they haven't been doing anywhere near as long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but I remember when you posted a picture of your hands, like big, big, wide sausage fingers.
Yeah. Really, well, I mean, that and my sixth, like extra finger is a little shorter than the others too.
I don't think that this is a positive correlation anywhere in regards to like how people think with an internal monologue or aphasia, because isn't it normal for nerds? I'm pretty sure it's a stereotype that nerds are like uncoordinated. Like I'm uncoordinated as fuck, and I never think with an internal monologue.
I think there's a large percentage of humans now who, if they were born over 500 years ago, would very quickly be dead, and it's like the evidence of evolution in the present. I think a lot of people underestimate how quick evolution happens, but a lot of things that have happened even in the last couple thousand years are as a result of evolution. Like, I don't know, I think the higher level examples are things like ability to free dive, even blue eyes, things like that. It's all very recent. Like it's not.
Well, farming would be like the most like perfect example, wouldn't it, coach? Like learning the seasons.
What do you mean?
It's only like, because learning the seasons and when to plant crops and everything like that, it's only in the last couple of thousand years that we've really mastered.
No,
that.
I'm talking about like biology, not
biological.
Yeah, but that's where the evolution started, being able to plant in obviously the right times so that we could evolve the way we have.
It was the nerds that got us to the top of the hierarchy. If you look at a polar bear or any animal out in the wild, you can't do shit against that animal with your bare hands. Like it was the nerds that were like, hey, let's make fire, let's make tools.
There's another biological concept here, and that is that like, it's very difficult for a biological organism to be good at everything. So for example, you have like hawks and eagles and whatnot that have probably like dramatically better far vision than any kind of human ever would. And you have like different, you know, like dogs and things that have like certain types of, you know,
mantis.
Yeah. So if you have these differences, the thing is like the way DNA works is, you know, could you possibly create a super biological organism, you know, like a human with wings, with like the eyes of a hawk, that, you know, the strength of a bear, you know, like some TV show. The problem with that is that like there's a certain amount of energy cost to storing all that data. So it's actually it's not possible to fit everything necessarily. It's not that it's not possible. It hasn't happened yet. And what's interesting about that is that like maybe it's not so much that, you know, Chugga's ability to basically visualize an object in his head is a weakness. It's just a different, complete way of like existing. And it may have advantages in certain scenarios that we're not aware of because we don't understand the teleology of how he evolved to be him.
You see speciality everywhere, like in nature. There's also a high trade-off to things. Here's a funny example. I used to be reasonably skinny, or at least average. And then during college, I gained a fuckload of muscle and I got up to, like, I don't know, 240 pounds or something, like really fucking jacked, like enormous, really muscular. I noticed when I went to bars and nightclubs, about maybe, I don't know, 50 times as many men had a problem with me and then tried to, like, start fights and stuff when I was in that state. So it makes you think, like, okay, there's a trade-off here. It's like when you take up more space or whatever, or you're larger, it's like you sort of activate something in other people. Like a silly example, but it's like very true. It's like, what is the trade-off here? It's not good just to be massive. It's not good just to be super brainy, right? There's some kind of trade-off happening.
Well, we grazed on it yesterday about the division of character traits in communities of species. Like, for a species to exist, you see across nature, there's a division of these traits. You don't have all strong, coordinated types. You always find the ones that hold back or think more. You need both.
I think there's a massive percentage of people now who are alive who, even 100 years ago, if they were alive, they would be dead very, very quickly. Think like half of those.
Think of what?
Like half of the people on crypto Twitter.
I mean, not just that.
I think this is objectively true. Like, it's highly likely.
Well, it was war, wasn't it? That everyone was a warring sort of tribe. Even 500 years ago, everyone was still fighting each other just using pure brute strength to get things done. It's only the last, 150, 200 years since we've started chilling out as a species.
Hmm. You see it all the time. You see the way the mind is clearly just an echo of the past. Like the way people become about cryptocurrencies, how tribal they become, how defensive they become, how irrational and delusional they become. You can tell that is exactly the same thing that would, like, lead a group of people in a village or a hamlet in the medieval ages to gang up on somebody who they deem to have caused the blight, or who they deem to have caused the famine, or who they deem to have caused, like, the plague that is going around the village, or the lack of rain or something. They gang up and go and kill them or something. It's like the same thing, except now we have this weird security of, like, police who can protect people, the screen, everything. Like, it's the same thing. Like, it's the same thing biologically. The brain is activating the same way, in the same kind of, mobbish, delusional way. It's very interesting to me. Like, you see it play out. You're like, I often think when I'm dealing with people online, I think, like, if this was 1,000 years ago, I would just have to kill these people. Like, there would be no way around it. Like, I just have to wipe them all out. Like, they would.
Yeah.
If we were,
because it's them or you, isn't it, at that point?
If we weren't behind a screen and we didn't have, like, such good laws and things, then literally, when they turned up and had some sort of problem with me, I would have to just wipe them out. Like, I'd have to get a trebuchet and stack them together and catapult, like, an enormous stone and crush them all. Like, there'd be no way around it.
To be fair, though, and I'm not completely pushing against what you're saying, but maybe just a bit of nuance to it. Like, people think that back in the Egyptian times that everyone was dying in at, like, 30, and that's not really true. From what I remember, people were living until their 40s. I think, like, the average lifespan was 40s to 50s. It was much higher than people assumed it to be.
And it depends on where in the world you are.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But you also have to take into account, like, we have modern medicine and such, but we also have a lot more killing us, at least in America. Like, if you look at the diet of people.
Can I just touch on your examples in very quickly? So
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, like, maybe not.
I'm touching on your example. Like Egypt, the reason why Egypt did so well is they were the first ones to basically invent, what was it they invented through moldy bread? Is it paracetamol or disinfectant or an anti, penicillin. They were the first to invent that, which is why they were able to extend their lives. They were actually medically so far ahead of everyone else in the Western world.
Well, the biggest life extension, the biggest life extension wasn't medicine. It was like general public health, clean food, clean water. And then like, in order to create that infrastructure, you have to have like a home country that is relatively free of war. So that's why like you go imperialistic, you basically control everyone around you so that no one can fuck with you. And that way you can have all these neat things that are not like, cause you can't keep like sewage systems and whatever running if you're being bombed. Right. So it's like you have to have like an imperialist world in order to have those sort of like specialty items, like because the tribes, like you said, will show up. Like the trebuchets need to come out at some point, and like that's just what it, really what it was. And you couldn't get all the niceties of the of life until then. But yeah, lifespan was most of our lifespans today are largely made possible not through just medicine mostly, but like 80% of that life extension is just simple public health measures like clean food, clean water, etc. And a place to like, you know, sewage and whatever, closed sewage, these kind of things, right? But that aside, like, like if we were all living like 300 years ago, yeah, we'd all just randomly die quicker because of all sorts of different reasons. But I think what Bruce is saying is like, all else being equal, if you just took like, you know, let's say those things were not the case, a lot of people legitimately could not survive outside the modern world. Like, there's just no way. And you see that. Yeah. You see that like quite frequently if you're a doctor like myself, because you see people that can't make it, right? Like you see people die of all sorts of things that you're like, wait, like I need to be sure I'm not around those people because holy fuck, what are they doing with their lives? Like they're just dying in droves, basically.
The pace of life was also different a while ago. Like if you look at old videos, like, you know, 100-year-old videos, and the streets, you can see that it probably took a lot more concentration just like walking around the street than it would right now. And like work would have been much more, you know, grueling, constant focus. Like, I really don't think modern people would be able to do that stuff.
Well, we're not, the world is changing. So the generations are changing, like the upbringing, the neuroplasticity is changing with each generation. But it's not necessarily bad. Right. Like unless we actually throw Gen Zers into the forest to fend for themselves, it's not really, I don't think it's an issue.
This was an interesting subject that came up, Bruce. Like, I don't know if you've had thoughts on this, but how much do the actions and the behaviors in this life, you know, how much does that translate to, or even the environment for that matter, how much does that translate to our progeny that's not directly related to natural selection is an interesting kind of concept. Because if you look at how fast evolution sometimes happens in some animals in a new niche, it doesn't even make sense because like within 50 years, like animals will have like completely new body parts and whatnot or different body parts. The speed of evolution is remarkable. And it like, it's kind of borders on woo-woo kind of like, it's not really, it's like, am I talking pseudoscience or something? But like, is it actually, is there another like element there that's completely being missed as far as like to Zinn's point, like maybe it's okay we all evolve this way. That's just how it goes. And then like maybe we'll pass on traits and such that will allow us to live in this kind of like soft world or whatever.
I think many of us won't live because we're elderly, like me and you, Seffi. But whoever lives the next 50 years will see like tremendous evolution even in our lifetime. I think just interface with tech and the kind of brain it both molds and also optimizes for, like even now you see on social media, like a lot of people just can't cope with this stuff. Like they get insane, like just being on social media and being in crypto and being all this stuff. Like then add AI on top and like heavy duty ADHD app exposure since super young, right? You need a different kind of brain. Like I've often thought the brain is sort of widening, right? It used to sort of be very more tunnel vision and deeper. Like you can give an analogy of like an intensive book versus TikTok, right? It's like one is sort of narrow and deep and it demands a lot of concentration in a particular direction. But the other thing is like very wide and shallow. It's like many different streams, many different tabs, many different videos, like 3 seconds each. It's clearly changing. Like the whole sort of attention quality you're optimizing for is changing a lot with time. And also you're de-emphasizing a lot of stuff, right? Like your ability to have, executive function or whatever else, like the spread of faculties that benefit you are changing with time as AI takes over them.
I think Sean was trying to say something real quick. Zin, and then Sean, you there?
Yeah, how's it going, man? Talked the other day. To me, it sounds like you guys are kind of discussing, isn't this just like Karl Marx and like Engels, like talking about like the division of labor? Because you're kind of leaving out like the whole planet, right? Like the southern world, southern half of the world is like not going to be experiencing the same like transitionary period that we're going to. Like, it's really hard to even like grasp how AI is going to impact like a tribe in sub-Sahara Africa, you know? And like, I'm not sure like where that division of like labor occurs or how we globalize or don't globalize, but I think that like we're focused on like an interesting like niche of it, but not really looking at the whole.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think like the evolutionary pressure in, say, the Western world and how, you know, what constitutes selection pressure and everything else in the Western world compared to, say, for example, sub-Saharan Africa or like the Amazon or something today, that's very, very different. And I think you're going to see like, and it's quite possible you see divergent, like on the one hand, you have a lot more mobile people. So people are intermixing and intermarrying and you're having a lot more mixed race sort of like people. On the other hand, you have niches where they don't even have that. And basically, you know, they sort of like get genetically left behind. I think there's a high probability of that happening. It's one of the consequences of like the caste system in India. You have a gigantic, like half a billion population of relatively low IQ people for this, like partly this breeding reason, perhaps. Like genetic diversity is very helpful long-term. And like, you know, breeding people just for labor or whatever, like, what do you call it? Like, kind of like an ant farm where you have worker ants and whatnot. Do we go into a world where we truly have like specialized humans and stuff just like that? And, or are we already there? Like maybe we just need to like, maybe just have to accept the world for what it is. Maybe that's what it is already to a large extent.
Yeah. I think it's just like, how are we going to divide the labor, you know, what's left? I don't know. That's what I was thinking when you guys were talking about Egypt. I thought they just figured out division of labor, like how to make some people work a lot for free and how to make other people not do
it. Oh, yeah. Like for sure, like ancient peoples had no qualms about splitting up what would be ivory tower academics versus like, you know, the brute force labor all the way down to having entire slave classes. Like the ancient world didn't give a shit about any of these like things. It was like either you helped the tribe survive and you filled your niche or everybody fucking died. And that was the end of it, right? Like it was very, very, I think that's what Bruce was saying is like, if you drop most of us in the old world, we're probably fucked. Like we wouldn't survive it.
Well, I think that's one of the ways to see, like that's a crude way of estimating the amount of evolution that's happened, right? Like drop the current people into the old world and think objectively, like subtracting the layer of like wanting to mock people, like think objectively how many would actually survive. Like it is changing a lot. You're getting a new kind of human surviving with time. Like the Spurg is surviving way more.
Yeah, it's like quite possible that like if you have way too many kind of selection pressures for intellectual types, and that's what survives in the modern world because you make more money or whatever, you're able to you know, pass on your wealth, what have you, and so therefore you're able to have and in this case people having less kids that are actually higher intelligence in the world, which is very interesting. But let's assume you drop those people into the old world, those traits that you think are amazing, like let's say, for example, inner monologues and like be able to think like of objects in your head, may actually be the root cause of things like optimism to some extent, but also maybe like depression on the other hand, because you can think of all the things that could go wrong. And yep. In a world where all the things that could go wrong actually can go wrong, you could wind up just giving up, right? It's almost like, imagine like you're just depressed because you're like, fuck, I can't do this and I can't have that. Can you actually make it in that world or not? I think that's a lot of people probably couldn't now, especially after having their brains molded by TikTok or whatever. You're just not.
Wouldn't that kind of play into the strength of not being able to visualize things in that sort of way? Because I would just have to, I would just crack on and go, right, okay, I know I need food to survive. Let's go find some food. Oh, there's a berry here. I know it grows. Right, go find some water. Cool, got my berries, got my water. Oh, okay. I know shelter will protect me from the sun, the elements, cool, and just crack on rather than overthinking, oh my god, I need all this to survive, blah, blah, blah. Oh my god, I'm so bored, I just, you know, get on with it. It's a bit like when Bruce made that joke about if Putin nuked the world a few weeks ago, what did he say? He went, you're the sort of guy that would just sit there going, oh, Putin, you fucking knobhead. And like that's pretty much what it would be like.
Well, I was in that situation, you were like annoyed at something. You said like, he's a fucking dick or something. I can't remember what you said
exactly. Yeah, I was like, oh, Putin, you dick. And then I just cracked on.
And I was just imagining like how your reaction to the end of the world would be exactly equal to your annoyance at someone in a space. And I was imagining the nuclear clouds and like shockwave coming towards you and you having like an exact and equal reaction to someone, so, to like being annoyed at someone in the space, like some weird homogenous reaction.
Think of it like this. It's when you start using me as your scapegoats and I'm just like, oh, here we go. Thanks, Bruce. And that would be essentially what I would be like.
Yeah, just like no, like somehow like the same part of the brain is triggered, like no real difference. Like total. Yeah.
It's just like, for fuck's sake, right? Carry on. Sort of thing. Here we
go again. And then just like everything's wiped out.
Yeah. I still remember it's there. It's not like it's like fucking Dory from Finding Nemo or is like forgotten in 10 seconds. It's just like, all right, I've experienced this before. I know how to handle Bruce. Just play along for a minute and he'll change the subject to someone else.
Yeah, but while I was in talks, like maybe one of you guys, anybody here that doesn't have the ability to like say a sentence in their head before they say it. I legitimately want to like chat about that a little bit.
Can you define, like, I have read,
been telling you that I don't. I can, but I don't.
Like, you have to define, as far as I understand it, there are a few definitions of internal monologue, right? There's the spontaneous speech, and then there is, like, speech produced by the will, like, consciously or something.
Like, for example, if I were to say a sentence, you know, the dog is barking at the cat, and I were to say that in my head volitionally, that's one thing. If there's an actual dialogue that's happening nonstop outside of what like I want to do, there's like it's almost like a semi-schizophrenic kind of behavior where there's a voice going on in one hand and it's my voice, it's in my natural voice, but it's going on and on while I'm talking to you. There's another dialogue going on. What I do not have for sure is I do not have, if I'm speaking out loud, you know, is it possible for me to have an inner monologue on top of that? It takes a lot of effort. I can do it. Like I'm doing it right now. I'm thinking it. And I can think of a different sentence that I'm not actually saying to you, but it takes effort. I think what some people are thinking of when inner monologue is like there's an actual voice just yammering on in the background while you're doing your normal tasks. And that's, by inner monologue, I think that what most people mean is just simply the ability to say a sentence in your head before you actually say it. Yeah.
So I actually have a question based on that very quickly before Zin says something. No, just give me one second. It's just because I'll forget the point I'm trying to make. Oh, all right. She's gone.
Look what you've done.
Oh, well, she'll come back, I'm sure.
She's learning from me. Act upset and then I leave and then the person like is...
No, she's reconnecting. She's reconnecting. But what you just said, Sefi, about having that sentence in your brain while talking, can you not argue with yourself if you're trying to rationalize something? And then it's just a to and fro. So I could say something out loud or murmur something under my breath whilst having an argument with myself in the sense of in a scenario where I'm trying to get the best result. Something like, no, that wouldn't work. And I think of something else and I go, well, that wouldn't work either. Wouldn't work because, and do you know what I mean?
My living experience is like, it's either or. So if I'm just talking right now in my head, I'm not going to then speak out loud and argue with myself with the mind inside my head. Like they're one and the same for the most part. You follow what I mean? Like, I don't talk.
Yeah. You don't overtalk yourself with a thought, sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's probably some people, the inner monologue may be like the written word, like they actually see words on a page or something like that, where, you know, they have the visual ability. So they're able to sort of like formulate a sentence, like where they actually literally see words on written words in their mind, as opposed to sort of like a voice. I suppose that's possible. I'm curious if anyone has that, but.
I just want to say, like, there's really interesting research about
in Africa that like over 88% of like children after fifth grade, like they can't read for meaning. And like, I don't know, that kind of like makes sense to me that inner monologue is like somehow tied to like reading and writing comprehension. Cause like, that's like kind of the thought process of my development, like how I remember starting to think and like use logic was like reading things and processing them and then trying to communicate those things to other people through language, you know?
I would think just a sheer time function. Like if a lot of the time we're spending, like, for example, I have to drive right now. So like if I'm driving, I can have this conversation. I can be thinking of ideas of what I'm going to do today or whatever. But it would seem like just you're a person who has an inner monologue has the ability to do a lot of cognitive work in their head long before they have to put paper to pen or actually build something or whatever. And clear, like, there's no question I spend a whole lot of time. Like, if I'm on a project, I'll have a lot of that time spent just thinking in my head of what's going to happen. And like, you're probably going to be like generally more successful if you have this extra time on your hands. It's almost like having a life.
But isn't like just letting bullshit fly off the top of your head like this more fun?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that it's not fun. Like, I can do that too, though. It's not like I can do one but not the other. But what I'm saying is that people can't do that inner planning. I would if you took that away from me, the odds that I'm going to be dramatically less productive, just my intuition tells me, is going to be dramatically less. Although maybe I'll spend more time doing actual physical tasks, and maybe I'll be productive in a different way, possibly. You know, the desire to execute on ideas may not be tied to this specifically. So it might be that like Chugs was saying, like maybe I would just be much more busy doing physical things to express my inner monologue, like not an inner monologue, but it's almost like a physical monologue. You're actually speaking through physical action. It's almost like a dancer might speak through physical action. Because people talk about that as like dancers, you know, like anyway. Zin, go ahead, like you're saying something.
I don't think with an inner monologue. I can force it, but when I plan things, I'm not thinking in words. You keep asking for someone like that. I keep telling you I'm that person. But what
he's
I was
asking
say,
for someone that can't.
You're not going to find that. They're lying. Like anyone who speaks a language is going to be able to form. Like they're probably exaggerating. Aphasia is extremely rare. Like pure aphasia. But what I was raising my hand for is we're definitely going to see a decline in things like critical thinking and creativity, but we don't need those things because we can just pull up Google. If you don't know something, you don't need to work it out. And also, like, you could see, you don't have to like imagine a world where you put us back in time where this can be an issue. This is a huge threat to our civilization right now. If China cuts out our internet in America, our society most definitely will collapse because people don't know how to do things without being able to Google it. What the fuck are they going to do?
I think it's a
huge threat. But then on the other hand of that, you know, Elon Musk is already starting to solve for that. He's already with Starlink, you know.
But I think it's a survival adaptation to a low trust society. And like you said, immediately upon the circumstances changing, the survival instinct will no longer be viable. And we've spent 100 years abandoning high trust. And we've had to adopt currencies like Bitcoin to reintroduce trust back into society. But these like improvisational ways of being are affecting the mind in ways that are unnatural. And to be more of an orator or a designer of your life is like the ideal way to
different.
Be.
I think based on what Bruce was saying earlier, the mob mentality that is literally sitting in our brains, what you would get is you get a new type of fanatical leader rising up. And people would just flock to them. It wouldn't be a case of society would crumble and fall. It would distort and warp based on whoever, you know, has that ability to charm the crowd the most. And that's history. That's what's happened. Look at Hitler, Germany. It wasn't modern day now, but we're fairly technologically modern in comparison for the last 2000 years. And yet the German people voted someone in that was literally committing genocide. And they supported it because it was a mob mentality. That's a modern day history example of where we go when we when we allow fanatical leaders to actually take power. And because I doubt every single German followed him and went, oh, this is amazing. Yeah, he's great. Some of them probably questioned it and they were killed off. Yeah. And that's just the way it was. But
do you think that people get so sick of, like, in Germany at that time, there's a famous picture of like a wheelbarrow that was stolen and like the money is on the ground. Like they stole the wheelbarrow, not the money in front of the store.
That's World War One, and that's because the German mark was worth so little due to reparations that it just. I know the picture you're talking about. That the wheelbarrow is worth more.
At some point, they get so screwed and they're so fucked. Like after World War One, we really did screw the Germany with like the Treaty of Versailles. So
that's what created the mob mentality.
Give me the dictator. You know, at some point, give me somebody that can get this shit done. I think that's
and logical. Everything he promised to do, which is scary because he was such an evil man. He gave the German people everything he promised.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, I feel like we're getting so locked in our politics, even in the U.S. It's like, you know, at some point, like, give me somebody that can get something fucking done, you know?
It is scary when you see someone rise who has the true qualities of both, where they can be the heartfelt improvisational speaker, but also they can deliver a speech. That's when it starts to get dangerous. It's like a Kobe Bryant sort of scenario where he's dancing and he's also improvisational.
What I find scary about America right now, all these
worries about like various dictators and things. The reality is that like it doesn't really matter. Like, in the sense that you're not going to be able to prevent those people from arriving. So here's the thing, like all politicians and all these type of people like have the type of psychology necessary to like rise to the point of leadership at some point. Most of them have some sort of skills that got them there. And those are the same skills that like the Hitler types would have. The problem is that you're not going to be able to reliably predict which one's going to cause the most damage. And it also depends on what you consider damage, because depending on your politics and whatever, one person's damage is another person's heaven or whatever. But it's actually going to be like impossible to predict that sort of thing. And after the sort of Hitler archetype, it's like everyone wants to call everyone else a Hitler. Like, you know, the opposition party. Oh, you're a Hitler. It's just like it's a meaningless concept in a sense. But
don't you think that there's
have you guys read Mein Kampf?
Yes.
It's scary. It's scary how good he was.
Yeah, but I think like super intelligent level scary is not that common. Like it's one of those genius level thing. He's like the Einstein of scary.
Andrew Tate does the same fucking model that Hitler did. Make people convinced that they're an underdog. Promise them that you have the solution.
Where's his imperial army?
Don't you think that we all have like that when they shut down the world for COVID, like we all just like lined up and did like what everyone told us to do? That's just a litmus test for me to say like, yeah, we'll basically do whatever we're told. Kind of like that's how they said they justified everything afterwards.
That's just
you know?
The basis for that's called civilization at the end of the day. It's like everyone here is doing what they're told. It's called
like putting people into ovens was because like somebody told them to do that. And like somebody told that person to do that. And it just like got pushed off onto not feeling like that person's responsibility for their actions because they had to do this thing.
Yeah, of course. Like there's a bureaucratic imperative to do like just it just becomes a lot. It takes a life of its own.
And I feel like we're like as a society, we're kind of like that now, you know, like we're not going like out of our way to go above and beyond like our job description, you know, like
that's why alignment incentive is so important.
But it's also why I think alignment incentives are impossible. It's like ultimately it's like the world and evolution works through a kind of a Moloch phenomenon where it's like all of the bad things that lead to a big bad thing are really just like a bunch of little micro bad things. And the problem is like in any given context, a micro bad thing is not that bad, like or might even be good. But when you in the aggregate, like the flow of civilization goes to something really nasty. And I think like we can't even prevent this sort of thing happening in human beings, much less like in AI and whatnot. So that's why I'm more pessimistic about achieving some sort of alignment or whatever. But anyway.
I know that there were like, there's like a ping pong between two conversations, but as far as the aphasia thing, I was right. If you ask people, if someone comes up here, I think you should still change the space name and ask for it to see who's a liar. But people with true aphasia, it's caused by generally a stroke or some.
No. Aphasia, you're using the wrong term. Aphasia is when you have a stroke and you can't.
Right. Like, you can't think speak. Verbally. Yes. You can't right. speak. Yes. But these right, people but without an internal.
Isn't that monologue. Synesthesia or something?
No.
So there's very much a lot of people that can't actually say a sentence inside their head. That's that you don't need aphasia.
Yes, this is aphasia.
So, no, not the same thing.
Steffi,
not
you said it. Oh my.
I promise you it's not.
I promise you it is.
I deal with stroke patients all the time. It is not the same thing.
This that people cannot, people who speak language have to be able to form language in their head.
Yes, so
it's called sound, like, color, synesthesia.
The closest thing that you will find is people like, either people like me or people that are very autistic and think in math.
Yeah, like personally dyslexic and dysgraphic, and like I don't think things in the same order or read things in the same order, and I don't think that that has much to do with me speaking.
But put it this way, when most people are speaking out loud, they are not also repeating that voice a second time in their brain simultaneously.
Yes, I am like that. But I can
most people don't do anything like that. You follow what I'm getting at. Like, you don't have, your voice is basically coming out of your mouth, but you're not replicating that in your mind, either preemptively or like a separate copy of that in your head.
Steffi, look at the studies on internal monologues. They bring up aphasia. People who cannot form words, who are incapable of it, have aphasia.
And yes, you can damage your brain where you have, brain damage where you can't speak.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is like people.
There's different parts to that. There's the motor cortex portion that affects like how your mouth and other components work. And then there's the actual thought process. I can think. So there's people that have strokes that can think the words, but they can't say them too. Motor aphasia. That's a little bit different again. So that, like, it depends on which part of the brain is broken, essentially.
Right. I'm telling you, when I think about things, I'm never thinking in words. I can force myself to do it, but it's
what about music? Work. Like, can you think of like a song that you're trying to create? Think it out in your head.
I hear
the notes and then go and produce, or do you do it like
I don't do it in words at all. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I don't plan a day in words either. It's in,
not so much words. I'm saying like can you hear the sounds in your head and then produce that? Or do you have to hear the sound as it is made?
It's not just sound. I think the best way to explain it is, I think in terms of relativity, like how far away things are from each other. So it's very visual. And I do this for
how far notes are away from each other.
Yes. So I see, I visualize how far away.
Now, like, do you do music training formally, like where notes were on a sheet and then you played a piano, or did you start on like digital workstation?
I started on guitar, so yes. Okay. not quite piano, but yes.
Got it. So like when you think of like music on notes on a paper, can you visualize, like, so if you were to be thinking about creating a song right now, do you tend to start notating that in some sort of visual form, like notes on a paper, all the little, you know, like bars and things that you see on a digital workstation, do you think in that, in your head?
Yes. And this is how I think about other things as well.
Okay.
This is how.
But you don't talk to yourself and say in the morning you're brushing your teeth, you're like, you know, I ought to make a song that like, you know, has these features and, you know, maybe has a deeper, you know, bass note or whatever. Like, you don't.
I do,
don't
but verbalize. I don't use words. No. Okay, I can, but I can form words. But I don't. I also wonder, it might be because I'm bilingual. So I learned that I think my brain associated at a young age the meaning of words rather than the words themselves, which might have played a part in this.
Yeah, I mean, I've exposed to like several different languages. So it's like,
you are.
But I definitely think in English predominantly.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I can, but that's what I'm saying is if someone comes up here and they say, like, I can't form words in my head, they're lying. They wouldn't be able to communicate if they didn't understand words.
They can communicate. They just communicate much, much differently. There's definitely, like, people in the world that do not have language. They get along fine. I mean, not fine, but they get through life. There's people without
language. That is not true. We need language to understand things. We've known this for a very long time. And in fact, like, different languages, different cultures affect how people understand things. Like, your concept of love is different than a French person's concept of love.
Yes, but there are people that have existed prior to us that did not have language, and they survived.
Yes, monkeys survive.
Yeah, but they still communicate with each other in some form or another.
You guys are weird.
Very rudimentary. Like, we wouldn't have been able to have societies or have farms or have anything that we have without language. Absolutely not. Do you see how slow we progress?
Sign language.
Without written language, we're like, we're beyond handicapped because we're so stupid that we have to read what the previous generation wrote and then add to it very slowly.
I think most of the technology we experience on a daily basis was built by object rotators.
Yes, Seffy. High five. Everyone tell your mother you love her before we get kicked.
These concepts roll a bit above my head.
Isn't language...
Actually, you know, I was waiting for a proper time to chime in for my low-level deduction here and maybe inquire as to the results of the poll as to who was a better host, either Seffy or Coach Bruce. Coach Bruce, what were the results on that? I didn't want to vote because I didn't want to taint the results, but I wanted to know the results.
I don't know. I'll look now. One sec.
I ain't gonna lie, I voted for Seffy. Sorry, Bruce.
I seem to have won. I think the big factor here is who can be bothered to host. The answer is Seffy. And also a factor is, like, who zones out least talking to retards? The answer is Seffy.
Is Seffy zoned out right now? Now that Citizens Zones chimed in, is that what you're suggesting, Coach Bruce?
You might have a phone call or something.
He's in his car at the minute as well, so he's driving. So he might have just got some bad signal or something.
He seems like he's trying to speak, but we can't hear him. I think he's back now.
One sec.
I think what I'm more interested in is if we could resurrect Hitler. And we had Hitler versus Coach Bruce. Who could convince the most people that they're a better host?
Coach Bruce.
With or without amphetamines for Hitler?
Well, who would conquer the world as well?
I personally think Coach, only for one reason. He's got the modern day advantage of understanding the technology, and he's got the experience of growing up with the technology. Hitler does not have that. He'd try his old-fashioned methods and everyone would just call him a boomer and just laugh at him, and that would be it.
And got a bad rep. He'd have to redo his look, for sure.
Yeah, he'd have to, like, grow, like, a hippie beard or something like that and, like, just start advertising about hemp bags and stuff like that, and just that would be it. It's like, you know, Hitler's hemp. He'd change his name from Hitler to, I don't know, Simpler. And he's like, yeah, I'm simp. You know, all these things going on. I got my hemp bags here, and that'd be Hitler.
All right, we're going to take that to the higher-ups. We're going to see how that plays.
Yeah, would anyone else like to contribute to the space topic at all? Come up and give an opinion?
Hey, guys, I'm new.
I think that Seth is high IQ. IQ is very high. I had a conversation with him about a week ago, and we both agreed on, like, a fundamental level that higher interest rates would not affect the crypto market, but
would, however, affect the stock market significantly. And that's a pretty deep understanding of interest rates and the markets that, I mean, shows a pretty deep level of understanding.
Well, I did notice one particular... I did notice one particular thing that happened recently surrounding crypto, where the El Salvador has essentially backed their currency off of Bitcoin, and now their economy is thriving. They're like a model nation. In fact, he's offering his services. El Salvador's
been Bitcoin owning for like 2.5 years, I think.
Well, he's offering his services to go over to Haiti, to clean up Haiti.
He's dropped his tax to 0% as well for anyone that wants to start a business there. He's literally created the city of gold. Like, he's I personally am very impressed with El Salvador's, like, the way they've turned it into such like a...
That's not a definition of stable economy, right? And he just won money in their country. That's it. It's not a definition of stable.
Yeah, you don't need to teach people with 200% a year inflation what Bitcoin's worth.
What would you think, Bikram, if they'd got Injective in El Salvador?
Who is Bikram?
I mean, Injective serves a different purpose.
Of course, but I want to hear his opinion, because he's a maxi well.
I
don't know who the fuck is Bikram.
Bikram, what the frick is going on? What is this?
Bikram has a personality disorder, Zin, where he changes his personality once a week. He transitions into a new person, so we should really respect his new identity. Who are you week, please, sir?
It's Gator, bro.
Okay, so it's Gator this week. Okay.
I'm a social worker. I help women. And I have so many women friends, and I just give them job. I just give them 2 hours to boyfriend, you know, and I just keep their accounts and maintain their bank account details. And it's a social work. You know?
Oh, okay. Can I just ask, Gator, can I just ask what inspired the Twitter handle? Like, it's a very interesting roasted bumhole or butthole. It's a very interesting one. And I just like a backstory to it, if that's okay.
I miss the old Bikram that talked about his butthole.
Versus the new Bikram that talks about his butthole?
I mean, this is Gator. Gator don't play. Gator the pimp. I don't know this guy. Scary.
Come on, Seffy. You've got to respect the new identity. Like, you know, it's 2024. Fucking hell, I forgot what year it was then. It's a modern day age. Like, if he wants to transition into someone new every week, we've just got to learn.
No, I appreciate Bikram's grind, though. He's got a whole thing he does. It's cool.
Good question would be, what does Bikram want deep down?
He wants to sell his shirts. I'll buy one. I don't see a link to buy.
Bikram wants to go back to India and fix his country. He told me, he confessed.
Bro, I am living in India.
He has to readdress his personality. He's not Indian anymore. He's left. He's going to come back on a different account and reinvent his personality and start from scratch. Guarantee it.
I thought he was the like cat snail person, but I guess it's someone else. Just because he always changes his persona so much, and it's so fun.
Bruce, why are rune sales so hung up on deterministic price versus speculative multiplier? Why are they?
I think it's awful.
I've been
saying this stuff for like a year to them all, and to Chad and everyone. It's like, and it keeps getting posted now. Like people keep saying, "Oh, the deterministic price is now $2.50. Oh, this is the true price. The speculative multiplier is only 4 times.
oh, the fake amount of rune is only 4 times the real price. Like, what are you talking about? Fucking retard. Like, the whole
speculation. Bruce, these are types of information that you use.
It's like interesting as a dev.
It's interesting as, like, if you're, like, buying a whole bunch and you give a shit about this sort of thing, but you don't talk about this thing. It's like talking about, like, nuances of, like, yeah. I don't know.
It might be part of your, like, thesis if you're looking at the curve, speculative multiplier over time, and you want to ape, like, the bottom of it or something.
But you
or
don't know the reasonable downside. Yeah.
But it should not be information that is perpetually posted on Twitter. That's, like,
the public
retardation.
The public shouldn't know. It's not important for them to
know. It's like people are posting it as if it's a good thing for everyone to know, as if it's a bullish stat or something. It's the opposite. It's saying, it's like, all it does is it says to the average person, 80% of the price is fake. Like, that's all it does. Like,
yeah, you know how they say, you know how I say, like, the floor is the utility? That's why utility is bad in some ways.
Because yeah, it's the same.
It's
same
like crazy,
it's like,
crazy
it's
gravity.
Like, exactly. It's like if Pepe got to, I don't know, 100 billion market cap, and then the Pepe devs came out and said, the whole point of Pepe is this shitty website, and we're gonna, like, this new, like, little Pepe e-commerce website is the entire point of the coin. Like, you're just constraining the potential, right? You're limiting it in a dumb way. It just makes no sense. Like, the only thing that can happen when people learn that stat is they think a high degree of the price is, like, speculative or illusory or fake, which means the same thing in their heads. Like, there's no positive at all. It's like retard. I don't know. I've told them many times, though.
You guys need to stop saying the R word. There's some R words in here.
I say whatever I want, honestly.
Why does that word offend so many people, though? I don't understand, like, why people get offended by retard.
Because I am one.
I don't think it does.
I don't appreciate you guys referring to yourselves as the R word.
I thought you were talking about recuse for a second.
Hang on. Zin, you can't tell us what not to call ourselves if we believe we are something. That's not exactly fair. Like, you know, aren't you American? Don't you believe in the, is it the Second Amendment, freedom of speech?
Bruce.
Were you invited?
Bruce.
Yeah, I'm a speaker. I was invited.
You have a card? No.
I lost it. I lost the cards in, and I don't want to pay for a new one.
No, I'm head of the committee. You didn't.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have delegated. Maybe you should have been doing your job.
Oh, sorry, Bruce. I'm retarded.
Bruce,
well played, Zin. Well played.
Ramadan Mubarak, brother. I just wanted to know how fasting was going for you.
Did someone keep saying my name?
Yeah, you kept. Why is it Kareem is like here for the crypto? He like can't handle any sidesteps. Sorry, Kareem.
I'm just bringing the conversation to common ground, familiar ground.
Kareem, we're talking about internal monologues. That's what this space is about.
Kareem
do you
is
have
like
an
gravity.
Internal monologue?
Kareem is like gravity. You know, like you'll be talking about something. We'll be talking about, like, I don't know, intellect and inner monologues and, like, you know, 3D reformations in your brain, whatever. And he's like, but wait a minute, guys, you think rune price is going to go up? And you're like, yeah, man, it's going to go up. And then you go on, you know, like, it's like the standard. Like, it's like Kareem's special, like, obsessive autism or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
He's like that other guy I like in here. Josh? Crypto Josh? Is that his name?
I don't know, but next time I see a Crypto Josh, I'm going to tell him you like him.
I respect him. I respect it because he'll sit here just waiting for the crypto. He's like, I can hear it in his voice. He's like shaking. He's dying for it.
Yeah, like one of these people are gonna stop talking about esoteric bullshit and start pumping my bags. It's like this inner monologue. If you like, first of all, if you've been thinking that in your head, you have an inner monologue for sure. So there's like you're sweating. You're like, when are they gonna fucking talk about rune or like maybe about Bitcoin or something? Make number go up, you morons. It's a bull market.
Well, okay, real quick. I started listening to your guys' faces when Bruce was still that squirrel wizard, all right? And he rarely talked about crypto. And
it was a
all
mouse,
about...
Kareem. It was a mouse.
Okay.
Hang on, say that again, Kareem. I missed that.
I was saying, I started listening to your guys' spaces when you were still the wizard mouse talking about masculinity.
The wizard mouse. What's that?
That was your, you know how you're a monkey holding a hot dog smoking a cigarette right now? You used to be a wizard, a feral rat wizard.
A rat wizard.
Chugaboom.
I think he's confusing what your mouse is wearing as a somehow as a wizard.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, back
you mean the creature, the creature that's sort of like an indeterminate mouse thing.
Yes, it was a
with the lovely toes.
Yeah, I like it because I liked it mainly because it's so indeterminate. Can't quite tell what it is or where it's from.
But we were not talking about crypto in those spaces.
No, I hate crypto. Like it's
my least favorite topic. How did you survive it, Kareem?
We're talking about male pattern baldness and a range of other masculine topics.
Oh my gosh. I remember so needed. You guys need to get on minoxidil. There's no excuse.
Were you there when he tried to convert all of the lunatics into transitioning? Not masculinity, but the opposite. That was pretty fun.
That was right before the collapse and probably contributed.
Puzzle. Oh, that was when we saw Doe Queen, right? When the meme came out.
Nacho Donner and Doe Queen. Yeah, everything.
Puzzle Raven, are you on minoxidil? You don't need it, huh?
Who? Me?
Puzzle up.
Oh, am I? I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you. The only thing I'm on is caffeine.
Does caffeine contribute to hair loss? Does it?
I don't know. I have a lot of hair.
It's the opposite. Because that German shampoo have like a fuck ton of caffeine in it? And it was like, oh,
a lot of shampoos. Arguably, when it's put like transdermally on the skin, then it increases blood flow. So a lot of them have it in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For your under eyes, I know I have under eye cream. I hate using it. It smells so bad.
Every balding man comes at a crossroads and has to make the choice to take minoxidil or finasteride. So he either has a bald head or he trades in his manhood because they also sell that with Cialis for a reason.
Yep. There's every man at some point, if they're genetically inclined anyway, has a choice between beautiful hair, as in beauty and youth, or infertility.
I love the look of balding dudes, but I also love shitting on dudes' hairlines.
So if you had like a man that was your husband, you would be like shitting on his hairline every day?
No, but then never. No, never. Oh. Never.
Yeah, interesting.
That doesn't sound that fun.
You contribute to a lot of male suicide.
It's like other dudes.
I don't like how Bruce phrased the, that is like a binary thing, Bruce. What do you mean? It's like Seffy. Why can't we do both? They're not mutually exclusive. Why can't we have nice hair and also have extremely fertile testicles?
You can. He said it's if you're genetically predisposed towards it. So obviously, if your family has male pattern baldness in there, you're very likely going to have it. And then obviously the drugs to counter it would obviously reduce your fertility. But
does
obviously,
it really?
Well, I assume so. I've never looked.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape up under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of pay. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We raping under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. We'll be right back.